Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. You're in luck today. We have a highly acclaimed executive business coach with us today, and I always love talking to her. She has been our guest numerous times here on Close Up Radio. She's doing a series of broadcasts with us right now this month, and you're very lucky because we're lucky and we're able to talk to her. Her name is Christine Rose. She is the founder of CEO Excel, which is a new virtual learning community for CEOs of $1 million-plus revenue companies. She's well recognized as a business and executive coach specializing in coaching CEOs and leadership teams. And she has a number of certifications, including Certified Value Builder Advisor and Certified Psychological Safety Coach. May seem strange to say that, but what that means is she supports companies in their efforts to form a more equitable culture, which leads to greater innovation. She's also a certified Canfield Success Principles trainer and keynote speaker. And to top it off, she was listed as one of the top 15 women business coaches of the year last year. How about that? So we are lucky to have her as our guest today. And on top of that, she's the best-selling author of a book that came out in the fall, the number one Amazon release in the fall, called Life Beyond Me Too, Creating a Safer World for Our Mothers, Daughters, Sisters, and Friends. Those are just some of her credits. I could give you a lot more, but then we'd run out of time, and I think it's more important that we talk to her. Christine, welcome. Nice to have you with us today. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Doug. It's so great to be with you. Thank you. What a wonderful day to be talking about what we've got on our topic today.
Yes, we do. Well, as you know, we just have started April. We just finished a long 31-day March. We're going to be talking right today about maintaining momentum and morale. That really is the topic subject, I think. But anyway, at this point of the year, everybody's busier than ever with tax season here. And let's begin by let me ask you a simple question. How can leaders, business leaders, and you know them well, catch their breath and regain momentum and focus? And why is that important, regaining breath and momentum? How about that?
Oh, Doug, there's just so many who are leading and growing businesses now, and they've got a vision of serving even more people. And in this recession, many are facing challenges. We're looking at plateauing revenues, lower profits, shorter working capital. Maybe they're carrying too much inventory. Maybe their sales are down, and we're not done yet with supply chain issues. And so leading and managing during a recession and during tax season, it's taxing, right? And I'm not going to talk about the extra burden, right, of doing taxes on small business owners right now. And we're seeing – the labor market's been tight. It's easing up a little bit, but it's still very competitive. When you're leading a business, your people are kind of looking at a revolving door of employees, and they're doing everything they can to prevent employee disengagement. And research has shown, up to 80% of employees are not engaged in their work. There's turnover problems. Doug, it's a lot for any small business owner to handle. So it's important to catch your breath.
I mean, not only small business, but I mean, look at the big business owners. They're 700-800 people at a time are being let go. I don't know how many people McDonald's is going to be letting go. They had their offices shut yesterday while they were getting their list together of how they're kind of – a lot of companies are dropping a lot of employees. This is a rough time in the year for employees, for many.
Yeah. It's big and small. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would say to any business owner or manager who's listening, literally stop for a moment and notice your breath. Literally catch your breath. It's important. And because we stop breathing in the busyness. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you are, who's listening, you don't have to close your eyes, but just stop, take a breath, and allow the breath to go deeply into your belly. You know, but don't worry about sucking in your abs at this moment. Just feel that deep belly breath, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let yourself take 3 slow, deep breaths while you're listening. And exhale. And I invite you to notice what happens to your body, because we live in bodies. Leaders live in bodies. We're all human. And we are carrying the weight of so much responsibility. And it can feel like a grind. And leaders can get ground down. We feel like we're losing our mojo. And so recognizing that you're human and celebrating the fact that you're breathing can be a reset. So that's a great place to start right there. And it may be hard for you to see, but whether you're in a corporate setting or you're, you know, a mom and pop business, or whether you're just an entrepreneur working in front of your computer, if you've got employees and team members, they're noticing. You know, your customers will notice. They see if you're rushing around with a clenched jaw, rushing past them in the hallway, or showing up on your team Zoom calls with steely eyes or darting multitasking eyes, and how you show up as a leader impacts how they're going to show up for your company. So it's really important for you and for your whole team to stop and catch your breath. And that's what this message is about today, is reset, stop the grind, and reestablish a positive, ambitious mood for your team. Because when you're suffering setbacks, your resilience is what's going to help you bounce back.
And, you know, it just occurred to me, I mean, what you're saying sounds so true, and I understand it, but the added burden is the fact that many employees are not working in the office. The boss doesn't see them. They don't see the boss. It's changing in some companies, as you know. A lot of companies are ordering everybody back in the office, but so many people are living and working remotely. That's another challenge that these owners and leaders face, is dealing with the, you know, their employees that they don't see. Wouldn't that be true?
Yes, it's true. Yeah, Doug, people are still trying to recover from 2020. And this has had a huge impact, not only in figuring out and managing this transition to remote work, figuring out how to manage remote and hybrid teams, and for the past few years, struggling to keep their employees because they can easily lose them to competitors. And then on top of that, there's what's happening every day in the news, whether it's a mass shooting or a deadly tornado or, you know, something in your town about, you know, decades of sex abuse by the Catholic priest in Baltimore, corporate layoffs, bank failures, you know, whatever's in the headlines next. This is a really hard time to be leading a business.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a very tough time indeed. There have been many tragic public and business happenings. One thing that's near and dear to your heart, and you've talked about it many times, is resilience. So let me just ask you, what can a CEO or a leader do to build resilience in themselves and in their team? How about that?
That's a great question, Doug. Resilience is so key. For those who, you know, it's a word we don't use all the time, although it's certainly been around a little more since 2020, but it's the ability to bounce back after a challenge and thrive in adverse situations. And in our adverse situations, if we're honest with ourselves and we're humble, we have to admit and face the truth that we can't control everything, right? But what resilient people realize is that we can be 100% responsible for how we show up and how we respond to whatever is coming. We can take responsibility for our health, our emotions, our moods, for how flexible and adaptable we are to creating change, and for our commitments. And so resilience is really key. I would say to the leader listening, start with yourself. Start with, before you go trying to build resilience in your team, start with yourself. start with being present, committed to be here now, letting go of yesterday and putting your focus on today and what's coming up, what's under control, what's under your control, and what you and your team can do together to meet your goals. And your individual resilience and the resilience of your team members is foundational for your business's ability to bounce back after adversity, so really for your business resilience. So what are some things to do? Well, one thing to do, whether it's personal or for your business, build connections. Don't try to get through challenges on your own. Join a group. You know, whether you're in a CEO mastermind group or even, you know, you're involved in a community service group in your community, like Rotary, whatever groups are going to support your resilience building, that helps because it helps us remember that we don't have to carry it all on our own shoulders, and there are other people going through the same thing, and we get kind of isolated. So that's one step to take, is build your connections. And, you know, we see people building their network on LinkedIn. We get massive amounts of LinkedIn requests all the time from people, and it seems like they're almost like spam marketing requests. I think I get maybe 30 a day. But
wow.
How many of those are people who could actually have insight into your challenges instead of a bother? So where are the connections that you can have that can support the growth that you need to have and the resilience you're developing? So that's one thing, Doug. Another thing I would say is take care of your body. Take care of yourself. I went to memorial service for a friend just a couple weeks ago who grew an amazing company and sold it and was, you know, just less than 6 months into his retirement at age 60, who passed away from a heart problem. So I want to say take care of your body, because that is part of where your strength comes from and your ability to lead. And like I said before, we're humans and we live in bodies. And so get up out of your chair, away from your computer, regularly, get up, move around, get a standing desk if you have to, get out and walk, you know, have walking meetings, take care of what you're putting in your body, take care of how much sleep you get. Sometimes leaders can be thinking like, you know, if I work more and sleep less, I'm going to be more productive. But sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it's while you're sleeping, you solve the problem. And so I would challenge that cutting your sleep time is necessarily going to make you more effective. Your brain needs sleep in order to think well. So take care of your body. That would be a second thing.
I was going to say, get a puppy.
Tell me about
puppy
that.
Puppy will make you active.
Is your puppy keeping you moving?
Yes,
oh.
Most definitely.
Well, then, you know, actually, maybe getting a puppy might be really helpful. Just kind of take your mind off how stressful things are. They're so adorable.
Right? It's amazing.
My sister's got a couple corgis, and, man, just watching those two little things walk is hilarious. All of a sudden, things are into perspective. So,
life will change.
You're not moving a little more.
Yes, it will.
And, you know, a third thing for leaders to build their own resilience is to positively and proactively address their challenges. And so getting it all out and identifying it and prioritizing, you know, what's the thing we need to focus on first? And engaging your team in that can help too. And, you know, I think most leaders are pretty good at this. But sometimes we can get a little tunnel vision, or we can get kind of have a limiting thought or belief that something isn't under control. And so if we're proactive, we can ask ourselves, what's the next half step we can take to move us towards our goal? when something's not going the way we want it to. And, you know, we've identified what we can control instead of what we focusing on what we can't.
Yeah.
And whether personally or in your company, what can you tweak right now that will make things better? What have we learned from what's not working? And that's the fourth thing I would say, is to stay positive and keep on learning, you know, just to see every challenge as a learning opportunity. There's this kind of myth that we kind of go around with in our heads that say everything's supposed to be all right, and if I just do one more thing, everything's going to be all right and there won't be any more problems. And I think we're coming face to face with the truth that that's just not true, that everything will not always be all right. There will always be challenges. And so if we see the challenge not as, you know, kind of something that's going to take us down, but if we see it as a learning opportunity and we stay positive around it, that will help us to bounce back also.
That's all great advice. No kidding about it. What does resilience, by the way, have to do with team momentum and morale, team morale?
Yeah, so it's more than just the leader. Yeah, so
yeah.
Doug, when the leader and the team have high resilience, and, you know, this is true whether it's an individual or whether it's a large corporation, but when you have high resilience, your company culture and morale are going to improve. You're going to be able to focus as a team on creating and executing new strategies, whether that's to grow revenues, reduce your expenses, increase your profits, manage your working capital better, whether that's to proactively address your supply chain issues and get those relationships going with suppliers, whether it's competing in a tight labor market so your company increases your employee engagement and lowers your turnover. Morale makes a huge difference in the team's effectiveness, and resilient teams are also more productive. They're more aligned on managing safety and health. They're more committed. They're better communicators. And you see team members as key to succeeding in your company mission, vision, and goals. Team members see each other as being part of this shared promise that they're making. And they are resilient in part because of their stronger relationships that they have with each other. So the resilient leader is investing in their team's resilience because they know that morale and momentum are going to be stronger.
That makes so much sense, really so much sense. Let me just point out, we're talking to Christine Rose. She's an extraordinary coach, a business executive coach. She's based in Seattle, and if you really want to learn about an amazing coach and learn about her business, go to her website. It's pretty simple. It's CoachChristineRose.com. You can remember that one. Pretty simple. CoachChristineRose.com. Let me ask you a question. You know, a lot of businesses, and we've been talking about it, are struggling with reduced income, which is eating into profit, of course. What are some of the ways to keep business momentum strong in an economy, a down economy, like so many are facing today? How would you answer that?
Well, whether you're, you know, whatever kind of business you're in, some are actually doing even better because they've already done some of these steps. But
yeah.
I'm imagining that you're responding by conserving cash, you're cutting expenses. And if you're smart, you've already looked at where your product is meeting the market and what changes there are, and maybe made some adjustments and maybe streamlined and focus on what's the core of what your business is, and adjusted pricing around that and around your offerings. And I want to say that's great, but don't stop investing in innovation and don't stop investing in your growth initiatives, because we're going to get out of this recession. I've talked to some folks in my inner circle who their thoughts are this is going to be a shorter than average recession, and the average recession lasts about 17 months. And they're seeing signs that possibly this one's not going to be so long. And so as we come out of the recession, you want to be positioned to keep your growth strong And so instead of cutting everything, now's the time to make what my mentor, John Warlow, calls a step change. John wrote the book Built to Sell, and he's a guru that helps business owners evaluate how to increase the value of your company, not just revenues and profits, but seeing your company as an investment. And he talks about making a step change in your products or service. And that's what's the change now that's going to set you apart from the competition. And this is a brilliant time to be asking your team members for input to figure that out. And so that's the third point I would say is trust your team, because you have hired them. They're smart people. You've trained them. They're aligned with your mission and vision and values. They have your KPIs in mind. They care, right? So now that you have them, trust them. Let them make more decisions. You know, kind of shift the power from the top and spread it out among your team. Because right now is a great time to be as customer-centered as possible and to make any changes and adjustments. See what kind of power you can give to your team members. Then, you know, on the flip side of that coin, help your team trust you. Because, you know, there's a lot of distrust that happens with layoffs. So I want to encourage business owners, if you can, come together, and leaders, come to figure out how can you keep as many as possible with the same budget that you've got to live inside of, right? And engage them to figure out how to do that, because your team is your ambassadors. That's really like who is there to be able to produce. And when it's time to, you know, when it's time to rebuild and the recession ends, you won't have to go catch up again. You're going to have them there, and they're going to appreciate how well you treated them in the downtime. And that will impact your status in the community, but it'll also put you ahead of the competition when it comes time to grow. And engage them to find out, you know, what their input is about how they can share the costs, right? Because it's important to contain costs. So engage the team to figure out how to do that well. Engage them to evaluate your strategies so you don't cut off your foot while you're containing costs. You want to do your stress test. You want to check the impacts on your balance sheet. But you also want to check impacts of cost cutting on your ability to serve your customers well. And so engage the team, because they're the ones who know. And I would say for CEOs that have a million plus revenues, you can also get more ideas in a CEO Excel Mastermind group. These take place monthly for 90 minutes on Zoom. So it cuts the time for the business owner to do it, because you don't have to drive anywhere. You know, there's not like a buffet line you got to stand in before you have your mastermind. It's you just get on, you do your mastermind, and you get off. It's virtual. So it increases the value for the group members, because you're in the hot seat every month and you get ideas, you get support, you get accountability to make positive changes in your business and to develop as a resilient leader. So those are some ways to keep your business momentum going.
That's all great advice, really. Those are great points you mentioned. Everything seems to it's just good advice. That's all. You know, I can't help want to ask you about your book, because we talked about it while you were in the midst of writing the book, and then I haven't talked to you since your book came out in the fall, and it was the Pinnacle Book Awards Best Women's Interest Book. And it's called Life Beyond Me Too, Creating a Safer World for Our Mothers, Daughters, Sisters, and Friends. How's the reaction been? What are you hearing? What have you heard?
Thank you for asking, Doug. I don't try to talk and promote the book too much. I'm not spending a lot of money on advertising for it. What I'm hearing is from business leaders is I didn't know. I didn't know. And so what I mean is that this is a coaching book. It's for business leaders, but actually it's for anybody who cares about how safe our world is for our daughters or granddaughters, because things have kind of gone backwards since the pandemic in terms of safety and equity for women and girls, unfortunately. And I would say what I've heard from people is that this gives the background of, you know, what that Me Too thing was all about, you know, and it's not about what's happening on the news with President Trump. It's not about, you know, what happened necessarily with any particular person. It was much more. And so the book kind of gets to the roots of what's the issue here and how does it impact us? And it also gives some really valuable insights for business leaders about how to create a culture where you're not going to put your employees at risk, how to make it safer for everybody in your company. So I'm getting really good feedback. And, you know, it's interesting because people say, you know, how can you have this stage where you're talking about equity for women and safety for women, and you're talking about businesses doing well? And I just want to say it's the same thing, because businesses who treat everybody well, they make more money, they're more profitable, they're easier to run, and it's the same thing. It's not two stages. It's like we got to get to the point where we realize, hey, this is just one message here, and this is be a great business leader and run a great company, and you're not going to have Me Too problems in your company.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. If you just read the title, you wouldn't assume it to be a coaching book. Life Beyond Me Too, Creating a Safer World for Our Mothers, Daughters, Sisters, and Friends. It's a great title, but it didn't dawn on me that really it is essentially a coaching book or about coaching. So it's really for...
Every chapter has questions, it's really about... Coaching is a transformation, right? It's about facilitating change. It's about seeing where we are, seeing where we want to go, and envisioning a future that's far beyond what we can imagine now, and then finding the steps to get from there, here to there, and accountability to make it happen. So it really is coming from a coaching perspective. It's very much neutral in terms of it's not judgy about any parties. It's just about how do we get to a safer world. And we can do that in the business sector. We can do that in government. We can do that in education. There's all sorts of different ways. And it requires having conversations for change. And so the book encourages people to have conversations.
And I would imagine it really does help start a lot of conversations. It certainly sounds like it should with a title like that. So I think that's just great. You must be very proud. You should be proud of yourself. Let me put it that way. Okay.
Thank you. I'm really grateful to all the people who've helped make the book possible, and I'm grateful for the recognition. And I'm grateful for the readers who pick it up. In fact, I'm so grateful that we lowered the price for the ebook down to under $3 on Amazon.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's really getting cheap. Okay. Well, listen, Christine, we've run out of time. Christine's going to be back with us again next week, everybody. Same time. That'll be Wednesday at 3 o'clock Eastern. So join us then, okay? Christine Rose. And remember the website, CoachChristineRose.com. Very simple, CoachChristineRose.com. Christine, thank you, my dear. Lovely chatting with you, and we'll welcome you back next week, okay?
Thank you, Doug. Take care.
You're very welcome. Take care of yourself, Christine. And you too, folks. Take care.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care. Bye-bye for now.